Hello, everyone. Welcome to the PPC Show, brought to you by AdStage. I am Paul Wicker.
And I'm JD Prater.
And today is February 15th, 2019, and these are your top headlines in paid marketing. But before we do that, happy Valentine's Day, one day belated. JD, I didn't get any chocolates from you. I'm a little disappointed.
Well, looked like Sausalito was giving you some chocolate with some mudslides there. I thought maybe your house was going to be in the bay.
Yeah. I mean, well, first off, I don't live in Sausalito. I live in Marin, but everyone who doesn't live in Marin thinks that Marin consists of Sausalito. That's like what people think of, because that's where, if you're in San Francisco, you go over the Golden Gate Bridge, you go down to this little nice seaside touristy neighborhood, that's Sausalito. It's where Robin Williams lives. So that's what people think. But I live like 10 miles north of that, like in the mountains. And I have no connection to Sausalito. But there were mudslides everywhere. There was tons of rain. It's crazy. Yeah.
I wish it really would stop raining. It was, I guess I can't really complain. I'll take the rain over the snow for all you in the Midwest and Northeast. Yeah, I mean, you guys are just getting hammered, but hey, we have rain. So we have our own issues with mudslides and Paul's house getting destroyed.
Right. It's really the flooding. My house, it's the flooding, the sump pumps. I worry about the power going out and the sump pumps dying. I need a power wall. I really got to pony up some money to pay Elon Musk for one of those power walls so I can sleep at night. Because if the sump pumps go, I'm going down.
That's right. That's right. Did you guys do anything special last night?
We had a nice little dinner, bought some gifts, but you know, I'm almost 40 now. Valentine's Day, me and the missus were like, whatever.
Whatever. It's a made up holiday. Let's all be honest of what it is. Hallmark invented it to sell cards. The diamond industry jumped on it, was like, oh, you should get diamonds. But yeah, we didn't do much either. The funny thing is we got on our favorite food ordering app, Caviar, here in the Bay. You might be familiar, for everyone else, maybe like DoorDash or whatever, wherever you are. And we were like, oh, no one's going to be on here because everyone's going to be out having dinner. But here we are with like a newborn. We can't leave and go out to dinner.
Right.
And it was like, the first thing it said, due to high demand, you can only order from restaurants near your home.
It certainly did not help the restaurants last night, because it's been raining. So like nobody wants to go out in the pouring rain. So it really was probably a very non-celebratory Valentine's Day. We're doing date night like, you know, old couples do. So we had date night last week. We have a next week. We really don't need to go on a date every night.
Every night is date night. That's right.
It's true. Speaking of Marin, it's a good lead into the first story. I saw you put this anti-vaxxer story that I saw in like the real headlines, not even just paid search headlines, but the story's coming up in like mainstream headlines that, you know, people are pressuring Facebook and Google to stop letting anti-vaxxers like run ads on. And in the one I was reading, it was really about YouTube, like Adam Schiff, who's I think a Democrat somewhere, was trying to get Google to basically stop letting anti-vaxxers run YouTube ads. And you have a newborn. I know you're probably very much on the vaccine bandwagon. So you're probably like, this makes sense to me.
Yeah. Well, it's scary because, you know, the state of Washington has declared a state of emergency because of this measles outbreak. You know, there's been over 100 instances of measles since January. And if you look back at 2016, there were only 86. So they're already at 100 in 1 month. And so far, nearly every child who's gotten ill was unvaccinated. And so that's like really scary, because what I'm learning and learned with having a kid is, we get vaccinated to protect each other, not so much ourselves. We do get a benefit there, but you're also protecting other people from getting the flu or getting other viruses. And so there is like this two-pronged approach where like my newborn, he can't get his shots. You know, he can't get the flu shot till he's 6 months old. So if you come and hold the baby, kiss the baby, and you haven't had the flu shot, you actually could pass the virus to him. And it's like, no.
Right. Yeah, I had a cousin who had a baby, and she would not let anyone interact with their child unless they had their shots. It was like a dog at the kennel, like, well, or a kindergartner, you know, if you don't have your shots. But I do live in the belly of the beast, and I, for their benefit, I will say, they believe that a lot of the vaccines that are out on the market, not the obvious ones like measles, mumps, rubella, and, you know, these like standard ones, but there does seem to be a new vaccine every week. And their argument is that it's drug companies that are trying to make all this money by getting things like HPV. There's an HPV vaccine for like young women, and that it's not necessary, and it's the drug company money. And I mean, this is the stuff that's probably in all those YouTube videos, but the people who are promoting it are not like making any money off this. Like, they very strongly believe that vaccines have risks associated with getting them and that they're unnecessary and, you know, you should have a strong immune system and all that stuff.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is the scary part, is because what they discovered was, like, these advertisers are targeting people, right? They're targeting, most likely to include mothers, right? So they're targeting young mothers or pregnant mothers or just had a baby. Like, these are all possibilities that you can target within Facebook. They're also, like, layering on interest with, like, vaccinations. And so they're able to get this misinformation, in my opinion, not so much fake news, but it's like misinformation. And of course, if it's on Facebook, it must be true. And right. That's the danger.
Well, this is also like a bigger picture problem that we have as society at this point, right? Is what is true anymore? And who can you believe? And what is a fact when you have, you know, an administration today that invents news? I mean, you talked about a state of emergency. We have a state of emergency today that's, everyone who's educated agrees that it's been invented to get a political, you know, agenda through. So you end up with a lot of folks who, yeah, look to, I mean, I don't know if they go to Facebook specifically for this information, but they're just out there consuming media. And there's people who truly don't agree on the facts. They don't, you know, the people on both sides of that argument are 100% sure that they have the facts and that the, you know, the vaccine people will say, hey, we have all this data about science and health history and et cetera. And then the people on the other side will be like, oh, that's the government just like feeding you crap that, you know, they fed you just like in the past that turned out to be wrong. So don't believe it. Here's other research from these people who have been, you know, repressed. And the average person who's just like in the middle trying to figure out what to do with your kid or with your, it's like seriously like struggling to figure out what they're supposed to do. The old simple ways of like, everybody just had one general way of believing and you kind of did that. Otherwise you were really like out there. Now it's like, oh no, there's like, every answer is a yes. What should I do here? Yes. I don't know. All right. Well, for you who don't care about vaccines, you're probably like, shut up already and talk about marketing.
Yeah. Well, I think it's like, this is just begging the question of where's those limits for advertisers, right? Like this is, because this is important whenever you're be somewhat of afraid. If I was in Washington and I had Jude and I go into Walmart, yeah, I would be afraid. Like what's going on? Like, is he going to get sick because someone wasn't vaccinated in that person, you know, and you can prevent a lot of disease and illness. I don't know specifically to this one, but I think the role of Facebook, the role of Google is really what's fascinating and what we'll have to be talking about in the future.
Well, that's what I think. In many ways, there is a role for somebody, something to help figure out what do we agree is the truth? And then if we want to enforce those truths on platforms like social media, because you are also asking Google and Facebook to censor what is available. Mm-hmm. And you end up with the censorship role of, in this case, yeah, you know, we kind of agree everyone should get the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine. It's, you know, scientifically and medically proven to save lives. And, you know, I mean, even if you don't believe in that, like polio, people used to die of polio. You don't get that anymore because of vaccines. But there's a lot of stuff which is much more gray. And then, you know, who decides what is appropriate? So, you know, there's all these teams trying to figure out, you know, this editorial review teams, or a few weeks ago, we talked about Snopes trying to like debunk mm-hmm. things. So we're all looking for these arbiters of what is true, knowing that in our history as a like society, if not country, there's been a lot of examples of like propaganda that's been pushed out as truth. I mean, I just read Bill Bryson, who wrote A Short History of Nearly Everything, wrote about like I think it's the summer of 1924, 27, but man, the stuff people used to say was true back then about eugenics and white supremacy, from the president of the United States to the major like institutions in the United States, top schools like Stanford and Harvard, like all these people were just full on white supremacists. And that was true. So if you're Facebook, somebody's out there saying like, hey, you know, these people are out here saying that, you know, white people aren't the best in the world and that men aren't superior. Like you got to get rid of all this nonsense. It's a tricky situation. This is a really deep episode.
Yes. Let's move on. Let's talk about
Google. Let's move on from white supremacy to Google putting ads in the Google Assistant. I have an Android phone, and if you squeeze the sides of the new Nexus, the Google Assistant will pop up and annoy you because you did not intend to open the Assistant. But if you use it, which I do sometimes because it is faster to just hop into Google Assistant rather than open the Google tab, you get a different set of search results. And apparently ads have started popping up in the search results. So no one's quite sure if they count as like position one in search results. Google saying it's only a test right now, but you know, inevitably they were going to start stuffing ads into Google Assistant, and now we see them there.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty much it. I mean, this guy kind of found it, tweeted it out, and then Search Engine Land kind of picked it up. But yeah, really fascinating that he was kind of searching for an MBA, and it like brought up an ad. Like it's clearly an ad for an executive MBA. Like there's no really way of hiding that screenshot of like even masquerading as an organic result. So that's curious to me of like, well, how far do you have to scroll to get an organic result there? Like you can't even see it in this screenshot. So it's definitely inevitable. Like when you think about the volume of people doing voice searches and you think about being able to put ads there, like that's a ton of impressions. But yeah, you know, like it's one of those, oh man, like I struggle with this one because I think of when I'm on my phone, I'm on the goal, like the go, those like micro moments that Google has convinced us of. But it, like, am I gonna like get an MBA right now? Like, am I gonna sign up for that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, Google will put ads wherever Google can put ads, but it also is one of those things too, where the assistant feels a little bit more sacred. Like if you want me to trust this bot that's helping me find things, because, you know, I use Google Assistant, which I'm sure most people do, as search. I'm just like, it's faster than opening the Google app and hitting the microphone. I can just hit the Google one and hit the microphone. So, but if, you know, if I really used Assistant to like, you know, book my next hair appointment or do any of the crap that they're trying to get you to do, you know, tell me who the last person that texted me is, you know, it's supposed to feel more intimate and personal and you're trusting it. So like just slap an ad in the results before people have really trusted Assistant feels a little premature, but it might also just be a super early test, but we will see. Moving, I don't think we have any other googs. So moving on.
Yeah, we move on to Insta.
Yeah, this one's also kind of an obvious one. Yep, you can do Instagram direct message on the desktop. I do that on Facebook Messenger because I refuse to put Messenger on my phone because it just like hogs the battery and annoys the shit out of me.
Well, there you go. Take a stand, Paul. So that's what it's going to take for you to delete an app. It really comes down to how much they hog the battery.
And to be fair, when you get a Facebook message, you know, you get that bubble that like pops up and then it just is on top of everything. Then you're moving it around. And I just, it feels so pretentious to you to take over my entire phone and to slap the Facebook Messenger icon on top of everything. Like that's more important than anything else. So I always, every now and then I install it because I really need to check a message. Sometimes because we're Facebook API partners. And of course, they correspond with you through Facebook Messenger. And then I delete it. So I probably installed and deleted Facebook Messenger like 5 times.
I've got one friend who like refuses to use text message, who only uses Messenger, and it drives me crazy.
Well, and a good example too of how it doesn't matter because Facebook has me anyway. I use WhatsApp because I have a friend overseas that I talk to. So I have WhatsApp on all the time and I have Instagram. That's how my nephew who's like 20, you know, he's like IG only. So they've got me on the other two. And actually, speaking of new things that my nephew's into, TikTok is
TikTok.
Now testing ads. Yeah, let's act like we know what it is. TikTok, that new thing with the memes and some videos.
So cool. Yeah, native video and short form. It's so cool. I haven't downloaded. I have no idea.
I tried to install it before the podcast so I could at least use it. So I think if you're a marketer out there, it's time you download TikTok and figure out what it is because, you know, quote, the kids are using it, which means, you know, we'll all be on it in 5 or 6 years. It's the new Snapchat.
Or it gets bought.
What was that?
Or it gets bought. This could be one, right? Maybe you pass on Snapchat and you buy TikTok instead.
Yeah. If they get an offer of $2 billion, hint, take it. Take the $2 billion and run. Like, yes. If you care about video that much, just take the $2 billion.
And you're already doing ads, so it's not like you're against ads either.
Right. Just be like, here you go, Zuck. I'm out. Don't even pretend like I'm going to work here. Exactly. So. I haven't used TikTok yet, but yeah, you can now, they're now testing a sponsored video ad that directs users to an advertiser's website. So go out there, get TikTok and check it out. Speaking of the person who didn't sell for a few billion dollars, Snapchat, who we talked about, did have a good earnings report, released a new report on user behavior. Did you read this pile of nothing, this report?
Yeah, pile of nothing. But here's what I found like cool. Like, so you can see that Snapchat has like, kind of switched in who they're going after. So like they're really trying to get brand. They've always had like come do the discovery video and pay us $100,000 for these channels, right? And it's only available to, you know, advertisers with huge budgets. But now they're kind of like showing data, which I think is really cool, with of their users and what their users are doing. So this is, they've done this a couple of times. This one in particular is talking about movies and when they visit theater. So I mean, no surprise, it's Saturday between 6 and 8. Like,
yeah, I was gonna say, if you don't know the answer, just stop and guess, and whatever you guess is gonna be right. Like, when do you think people go to the movies? On the weekends at night. Yeah, 6 to 8 o'clock on Saturday. Yeah, yeah, no shit.
So I liked it, that fact that they were actually like pulling in information, and then they pulled in some audience affinities of these people. So I thought, like, you know, again, pretty good. They're obviously trying to get that like movie money, you know, talk about like movie trailers and, you know, advertising for the latest movie, or even like your local theater to bring in people. But I was happy to see them do something stuff with their audience.
It, you know, it's always nice to see infographics with some data in there. And they did say that, you know, before the movie, you can find Snapchatters outdoors at a park, shopping at the farmer's market, making quick purchases at the convenience store, or prepping for a party at the party supply store. So they're trying to paint this picture like, hey, we know what this demographic's doing. Again, that many people are at the farmer's market Saturday at 6 p.m.? Is that like...
Going to a park? Yeah, right.
It's like, it's probably they're playing some video game. It's 95%. But when they leave their house, they're at the park or at the farmer's market. So it's always nice to release data, and I could see how this might play for like big marketing teams that are like, oh, we are promoting a farmer's market. Let's get the Snapchat crowd, but we'll see. Some of their new filters are good though. So even though I'm making fun of Snapchat, we still, you know, my girlfriend and I and a few other friends are the ones who are on Snapchat, and they had some new filters lately, which are good. There's a dancing like gopher. They put your face on a gopher, just your mouth on a gopher, and the gopher kind of looks around. I can't send it to you. You don't have Snapchat, do you?
No.
Okay. Well, if you did, you would laugh like crazy. Okay. Cora, you know them well. What's up? Some new currencies?
Yeah, we got some new currencies. We also announced our new office in New York. So pretty exciting there. But with the additional currencies for all you advertisers out there, we've got 6 new currencies available in addition to the US dollar. So you can do Australian, Canadian, Euro, British pound, Indian rupee, and Singapore dollar.
Oh, nice. I've been hearing some good things about Quora. I feel like the last month or two, like there's been quite a bit of buzz about Quora as a platform. Good job. Nice. I'm sure it's all you, brand evangelist.
Yeah, 100%. Make sure I get all the credit.
Right. speaking of other networks, Apple, I threw the story in, they acquired a digital marketing startup called Data Tiger.
That's a cool name.
Yeah, Data Tiger. It's, as usual, I can't quite tell what they do. They're they're UK-based, and they say they can optimize the marketing journeys of customers by using data to more accurately send materials to consumers. So I don't know exactly what that means, but Apple has snapped up a few kind of advertising technology folks over the past few years. And, you know, they continue to move into ads. Apple Ads, if you're doing app installs, Apple Ads is obviously a huge source of installs in the iTunes ecosystem and the, iPhone. I'm like living in 1995. But do you still get things through iTunes? Do you still download apps through iTunes? I'm an Android user. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I do. Yeah, I go to the store because I'm an iPhone user. Yeah, I mean, when I get new apps, I have to go to the store and get them. And then podcasts come through. I listen to all my podcasts, you know, with its own icon now. It's not even part of iTunes. It's just called podcast. But yeah, that's where I get it. I'm trying to figure out with you as well. It looks like some kind of like AI-assisted marketing for Data Tigers. Like, hey, look at this, a bunch of buzzwords.
Yeah, it's hard to figure out. It could be an acqui-hire, but Apple, you know, doing more marketing. So again, if you're doing Apple Ads, probably adding a little bit to maybe attribution. We'll see. I don't know what Apple's interface looks like. I looked at it maybe 2 years ago. It was like super new. I don't know if it was even out yet. And it was super basic. So I haven't looked at their interface in a while, but...
Well, it looks like, yeah, it's like an acqui-hire, but looks like they are going to be planning to launch a new video streaming product in April. And so this might help them launch and understand what people want to consume on their devices and target the right content to them. interesting.
Yeah. Especially, I do watch a fair amount of content on iTunes, like desktop. So I have a Mac at home. So we watch movies sometimes that way. Cause yeah. I like you, you st- it's like old fashioned. I download the movie. So we'll like download the movie, step away for a few minutes. Cause I, our internet at home, sometimes like Netflix craps out. So we still use iTunes to watch movies here and there. Glad everybody knows my browsing habits. And then the last one is AT&T announced that they're going to return to YouTube. So they made a big announcement 2 years ago that there's too much crap on YouTube and they're going to pull all their ad spend, but they've announced they're returning.
Hooray. Yeah. I'm sure all the other YouTubers are probably like, no, because they're one of the largest, you know, spenders. So that just means more competition. But there's so much inventory on YouTube. It's insane. So I'm sure it's not going to impact your CPMs that much, but I think really it's more of a win for YouTube that they were able to maybe get their brand safety under control in order enough to bring AT&T back. So,
and this congrats. Is one of those brand safety announcements. I don't know if you remember back in March 2017, you know, a lot of people were reporting seeing their ads on really disturbing YouTube videos. And a bunch of brands pulled off, Johnson & Johnson, Verizon. Of course, all of them came back soon after once people started paying, stopped paying attention. But AT&T, to their credit, said, hey, we're not going to go back because, you know, we want to be sure. And there's a quote in here somewhere. I'll read the quote. So they wrote, after 22 months of working closely with Google, AT&T said, quote, there is now a near zero possibility its ads could end up appearing next to inappropriate or unapproved content on YouTube. YouTube, period. Which I say BS. I've been cursing a lot on this episode. I'm gonna have to go back and beep them out.
Nah, keep it in, like Gary V.
Yeah, but our like Brigham Young friends, you know, they're like, hey, slow down. I'm sorry, Luke, if you're listening. Your class is probably like, you tell us to watch these guys and they got, you know, these gutter mouths. But I said BS instead of bullshit this time. There's no way you can have a near zero possibility of having your ads not appear on something that's horrible on YouTube. There's just too much horrible stuff. But someone convinced AT&T that's the case, or this the chief brand officer just wanted to have a culpable, what is it, deniability, culpable deniability, whatever that term is. They just want to be able to say, I didn't know that. They told me there is a near zero possibility.
I mean, I'm interested. So they're going to return. But you know, the article said that they review their content in topics that their ads are running up against every quarter. So, you know, I'm sure they're going to give them a quarter and see what happens. And then if something doesn't happen, it's like, well, we're out again.
I mean, that says it all, right? We're going to do a quarterly check-in. Yeah, you'll really catch everything checking in every quarter to see where your content ran. But hey, no surprise, brands are going to advertise where people are and people are on YouTube. And AT&T is one of the biggest brands. So if you were Sprint getting great return on your YouTube ads, this is probably bad news, but most people probably don't care too much. That's it. Those are all the stories we have for this week. We hope you enjoyed Valentine's Day and stay dry if you're in the Bay Area. If you want more headlines, you could always head over to blog.adstage.io and sign up for the newsletter, and you'll get notified every Monday for the most part, except this coming Monday, which is a holiday.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. President's Day?
It's President's Day. Yeah. Mm. Are you off?
Yeah. AdStage will be closed on Monday, so... Yeah, we're growing up now. We take more holidays as a start. So hopefully you have the Monday off too, so enjoy President's Day. And just think of your favorite president when you're celebrating President's Day. That's a good way to go about it. And then we will see you next week. You're supposed to say, see you guys.
Oh, yeah. Well, see everyone.